You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
So I'm here with John Poison. If you can tell us a bit about yourself, John, tiny pictures and your role within all that.
Sure, I'm the founder and CEO of Tiny Pictures. We set up the company about a year ago, and we've just recently brought radar.net to market.
Okay, fella.
I was just going to sort of give a bit more background. Prior to working to setting up this company, I was working in Tokyo for Sony, running a big design organization focusing on mobile technology and bringing new products to market for Sony.
Okay, and you touched on the Radar, which is where I found you through. Could you give us an overview of, you know, what Radar is for anybody who doesn't know?
Sure. Radar really focuses on making some use of the camera phone that most people have in their hand and never really get much use out of. The idea with Radar is that you can instantly share your camera phone pictures with your friends, take a picture, put it on Radar, and the people that you've chosen to share with, your close friends, not the entire world, the people that you already have in your life, can see those pictures on their computer, and they can see them on their phone, and you can see their pictures. And you can leave comments for each other and kind of engage in basically a visual conversation around the kind of pictures that you're taking all day long.
Okay, so it's almost like a permission-based sharing network.
Absolutely.
Okay, so where do you see, this is obviously something new, I know Flickr is flirting with this space, but you are very much focused on the portable phone and using that and expanding the remit of that. Why have you just gone for that area?
Well, we think it's a really big opportunity. So if you look at something like Flickr, Flickr's a fantastic service. It's a great place to share photographs with people who are photo enthusiasts around the world. Sometimes people you don't know. Our service is really focusing on your existing social community, the people that you already contact on a regular basis. And it's really focusing less on photographs and much more on sharing the experiences you're having. And because you're sharing only with people who know you, you can share whatever you want. You can share things that are personal and private and things that may not be relevant to anybody else. So our users are doing things like, you know, sharing pictures of what they eat for lunch or the intersection they're standing at waiting for their friends to arrive, or they're stuck in traffic, or they're bored and inside jokes and all those kind of things. The context is totally different. It's not an entire community of people that you don't know. And it's not about the what's inside the frame of that little picture. It's much more about the context in which the picture was taken and being able to share that with people who understand that context.
Okay. And this permission-based kind of content sharing, do you see that as becoming a greater feature in kind of Web 2.0 sites, you know?
Well, a big part of the ethic of Web 2.0 has to do with community. We totally believe in that. We use some of the same technology that people are talking about in Web 2.0, like Ajax and those kinds of things. But our scope is different. We're really not a community-based service where you're sort of connecting to people you don't know. And that's an important distinction. It's not that we don't believe in that entire movement. We're big supporters of that. And we all use, all the people here at Tiny and our customers, of course, use all of those services on a regular basis. But we felt that there was a need and an opportunity to build something of significant cultural impact based on a slightly different point of view, based on the same kind of notion of staying in touch with the people in your life that we're already used to in the other kinds of communication tools like instant messaging and text messaging and phone calls and emails, all those kinds of things. This is much more closely aligned with those tools than it is with the kind of social networking services like Flickr and MySpace and Facebook and those sorts of things.
Because it's interesting, because obviously Media Snackers focuses on youth and youth media and just the youth generation. And, you know, this is a generation now that is almost tooled for involvement. And you're more like just providing a platform now. They've already got a tool. And it's just like another way to communicate, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's an important distinction. We designed Radar to work on the existing technology that everyone already has at the end of their hand. So Radar already works today on every camera phone on the planet. You can share any camera phone picture with Radar very simply. It doesn't matter which operator you're with, or what kind of plan you have, or what your friends are doing. It's not designed just for sort of high-end smartphones that some sort of tech-literate people have and not everyone else has. We know from day one that you'll want to share with your friends, and some of your friends have have a really crappy phone that they got 2 years ago, and they're sort of talking out. Those people can already use Radar, and that's important. Mm.
And I must admit, I've given Radar a little test run, and it's really simple to use, like you say. And how do you see your service kind of integrating into the bigger existing platforms like the Bebos and the MySpaces, etc.?
To the same degree that all of the other sort of communication tools that you have integrated with them. So if Radar is about sharing the sort of intimate details of your life with your close friends, there's likely to be a couple of pictures that you share on Radar that you think you'd like to put on your MySpace page or put on your Bebo profile. Mm. We want to give you some tools to export those pictures to those services easily, but we don't see a kind of sort of tight integration, because the things that you're sharing in Radar may in fact be highly personal. And in a world where so much is on a public stage, our users tell us that there's definitely a need to have some sense of privacy. And knowing that stuff is private allows you to share much more frequently and much more comfortably. And that's what makes it a really addicting service.
And tell me kind of a bit about the logistics then. How many people, have you currently got on, what you're aiming for, and how long you've been going, really?
We've launched the public beta of the service just about 2.5 months ago. We've seen some pretty tremendous growth in our numbers, but also the people that are using the service, if we look at their statistics. And it's a different kind of service in the sense that we don't have sort of access to all the people's, to everyone's content, so it's a little bit difficult for people outside of your sphere, even for us internally, to understand what everyone's doing. When we look at the stats about how many pictures people are posting and how many friends they're inviting, and how many comments are leaving and how often they check in, we're starting to see a really significant amount of integration of Radar into people's lifestyles, in a very clear sense that people get quickly addicted to the service and start checking it first thing when they wake up in the morning and 6 or 7 or 8 times a day on their phone and on their PC. And that gives us a lot of confidence about what we're doing.
And I know you kind of set up Radar to integrate with mobile phones as well. So in other words, you don't have to have access to the web to view photos. Is that right?
Precisely. That's a really important part of the way Radar works. We really designed it to be from the beginning a both desktop and mobile experience. So everything that you can do on the desktop, you can do from your mobile phone. Not just kind of having an awkward little window into the content that you see everywhere else. You have all complete access from any phone that has internet access to all of your friends' latest pictures and the comments they're leaving on your pictures and the comments that you're leaving on theirs. That's a really crucial part of the service, because it's really about staying in touch, and you don't want to just stay in touch with people when you're sitting at your desk.
No.
You want to check what's going on when you're waiting for the train or walking between classes or with your friends at night. That's exactly when you want to know what's going on, and that's really key.
And do you see that as kind of a major trend or theme that's going to happen in the future, this mobile platform becoming a lot more accessible in terms of you don't have to go to the web to access the services? In a sense, in a couple of years' time or even less than that, you will be doing most of your online searching and uploading your profile through your phone. Do you see it going that way?
Yeah, we absolutely see that as an important trend. And we see a lot of companies that have existing web-based properties trying to move into the mobile sphere, and it's a little bit of an awkward move. I kind of liken it to when, in the 90s, a lot of big brick-and-mortar retail outlets tried to do online, some kind of an online presence, and it was difficult to do. But companies that built themselves from scratch as an online presence, like Amazon, for example, really sort of moved ahead of those brick-and-mortar trying to adjust. So all this to say that the companies that really put a thoughtful amount of effort into building a proper mobile experience, not just kind of shunting some of their content out to a phone where it's not well suited to what users want, they have a difficult time. The people who build from the ground up thoughtfully as a proper mobile experience can really affect some significant shifts in the way people consume this content.
And what are you seeing in terms of the future? Because you've talked about mobile platforms becoming kind of ubiquitous with access, etc. But I'd really like to ask you from a youth perspective, because obviously Radar is kind of aimed at the youth generation, or 30 under, definitely. Where do you see it going in terms of all the different services that not just you're offering, but the whole kind of web graduation to mobile phones? Do you see the mobile phones graduating up to the web? I don't know. Which way do you see it swinging?
Well, we definitely see an important trend in terms of the technology and the way the technology is being positioned as a kind of connection to the internet proper, not to some kind of micro version of the internet formatted for phones. I think it's important that we think about content on the internet being made available in a thoughtful and relevant way through mobile devices. And I think kids get this automatically. They, for them, this device is as much about what it's connected to as what it contains. And in terms of the youth generation, I think that the properties are going to have the most success and resonate best with younger people today are those properties that really find the right content for a mobile device. A mobile device is not just a connection to everything else. It is really about sort of staying in touch with people and communicating. And if you honor the role of that device in our lives, that notion that it's about connectedness and not just about consuming just about any content, those are the things that we find resonate best with younger audiences, both in North America and in Europe.
Brilliant. Well, I'd just like to thank you for giving up some time today to talk to Media Snackers, John. Really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.